Welcome to Changelog and Friends, a weekly talk show about trailer spoilers. Thanks, as always, to our partners at Fly. Over 3 million apps have launched on Fly, the public cloud built for developers who ship. That's us, and that's you. Learn more at fly.io. Okay, let's talk.
Well, before the show, I'm here with Jasmine Cassis from Sentry. Jasmine, I know that session replay is one of those features that just, once you use it, it becomes the way. How widely adopted is session replay for Sentry?
I can't share specific numbers, but it is highly adopted in terms of, if you look at the whole feature set of Sentry, replay is highly adopted. I think what's really important to us is Sentry supports over 100 languages and frameworks. It also means mobile. So I think it's important for us to cater to all sorts of developers. We can do that by opening up replay from not just web, but going to mobile. I think that's the most important needle to move.
So I know one of the things that developers waste so much time on is reproducing some sort of user interface error or some sort of user flow error. And now there is session replay. To me, it really does seem like the killer feature for Sentry.
Absolutely. That's a sentiment shared by a lot of our customers. And we've even doubled down on that workflow because today, if you just get a link to an issue alert in Sentry, an issue alert, for example, in Slack or whatever integration that you use, as soon as you open that issue alert, we've embedded the replay video at the time of the error. So then it just becomes part of the troubleshooting process. It's no longer an add-on. It's just one of the steps that you do. Just like you would review a stack trace, our users would just also review the replay video. It's embedded right there on the issues page.
Okay, Sentry is always shipping, always helping developers ship with confidence. That's what they do. Check out their launch week details in the link in the show notes. And of course, check out Session Replay's new edition, Mobile Replay, in the link in the show notes as well. And here's the best part. If you want to try Sentry, you can do so today with $100 off the team plan. Totally free for you to try out for you and your team. Use the code CHANGELOG. Go to sentry.io. Again, sentry.io.
We can listen to Changelog and Friends with Adam and Jared, people you know. Changelog and Friends, it's your favorite ever show.
Well, Matt is back, but with no guitar.
No, I thought I'd switch things up a little bit, and what I've done is I've brought my piano, look.
Love it. I didn't know, actually, I did know that you played piano, because I think you sent me a few piano tunes in throughout the days, but I kind of forgot.
I know, but I'm better on the piano than, I can't really play the guitar.
Oh, you fooled us.
Yeah, I just learned some tricks. You don't need to learn how to play. It's like coding. You don't have to learn how to code. You just have to learn a few tricks.
That's right.
Through the interview.
You have to trick the interviewer that you know how to code.
I've been an imposter for a very long, very long time.
Right. You can't code, but you can leak code. You know, that's all you need.
Yes.
I mean, genuinely, though, we are seeing an uptick of people using ChatGPT in interviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you do? Like, what's your stance on that? Would you allow that or no?
That's a good question, because to a certain extent, it's like, well, I want to know how much you know about this craft, but also I want to know what you can do. And let's be honest, if you're going to be doing, you're going to be using some assistance.
Yeah.
And so why not just use the assistance while you're doing the interview? I guess I would leave it up to the interviewer. What would you do, Matt?
Well, I'm with you. I think they are part of the tool chain that we have. So use it. I mean, are we really interviewing people to find out what they know in their brain now or what they can do, like
right,
what they're able to produce? Yeah, I think it depends on what you want.
He just repeated exactly what you said, Jared.
He did. He made me feel smart by just saying it back to me. Is that a trick of yours?
Well, I say it in a British accent. That's what makes it sound
He makes it sound even better. It's like he one-ups me by just saying it back with his accent. Not fair, Matt. Not fair.
How about this idea?
Okay.
We just add a flag to people's column. You know, like, I'm interviewing Matt. Matt is AI assisted. Cool. Yeah. That's it.
Right. Just be honest about it.
Yeah. I'm actually quite cool with being AI assisted. I'm not cool with just AI, right? Like if you're interviewing an AI, Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Meta.
You don't want to be replaced. You want to be assisted.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm a humanist, man. Okay.
See, I feel like you're joining my team over here because I've been saying this for a while.
Yeah, assisted is the way to be.
I'm happy to have you. I think AI powered. I'm happy to have you. You know, like, I think human plus AI equals better, but AI plus AI equals disaster.
For now. You got to say for now. You got to say for now.
Some people are avoiding using AI ethically because they're not happy with the copyright that was all stolen.
Right.
So they're sort of opting out of it from an ethical point of view. And they really are kind of giving themselves a disadvantage. You know, so all credit to them for it, really, for that. But yeah, if your mission is to just get stuff done, yeah, AI assisted, I'm in.
Yeah,
it's not very popular to say that, you know.
Well, let me, if AI or the LLM, this chat, is the evolution of what we had, which compares well to Google, have you had an issue with people Googling things? No, you have not. It's actually expected.
Yeah, now.
Right?
But in the beginning, people did. They said, you have to do this. You're not allowed to use Google. You've got to do this. And then some places, I think some places still do that. It's like the whiteboard interview.
This is interview process only, though, right? You're thinking interview process only? Okay, so if we go past the interview, I'm totally cool with I want to know what your potential is and what resources you can leverage. So I think of like two things, resourcefulness and resilience, right? Those are the double R's right there. That's the quintessential pair, let's just say.
It's double R's. It's the quintessential pair.
Why did you stop? That was getting so good.
It's just a jingle in case you need it. In case that comes up again.
In case there's another quintessential pair that also starts R's. With R.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good abstraction, actually. You didn't say the words, so.
There you go, yeah.
We can reuse it, Adam. Think of another couple of R's later.
Okay, I'll keep going.
So I think it was Socrates. I could be wrong on the details of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a very prominent philosopher / academic, I think it's Socrates, who was against writing things down publicly. He came out and said, we shouldn't write. This was like the advent of writing, perhaps.
Right.
The two R's.
Yeah.
Writing and writing. And he just thought that we would lose our brains, like we would stop being able to remember things. And I recall when programmable phones were picking up and you no longer had to memorize people's phone numbers. And there were some folks who were kind of offended by that. Because there was a social dynamic to like, whose numbers do you have memorized? It kind of shows who's important to you in your life. And there's certain people like, I'm just going to remember your phone number. And, you know, 10 years later, they're all off that. They're all done.
Yeah,
like, it's over with.
Purged. Yeah.
Why would you want to remember phone numbers if you don't have to? So
yeah,
I feel like some of it's the more typical just don't move my cheese kind of stuff.
Yeah, I get it. I get why people... It was like it with calculators. I remember my cousin wasn't allowed to use a calculator in one of his exams, but I was younger and we were allowed to use calculators and he was outraged. I mean, it was an English exam, so it didn't help, but still... Sometimes your jokes don't go down so well. Don't worry, it's all right. Just a little one for me there.
I like how you console yourself. I was just over here thinking how I just missed a huge opportunity when I said the two R's, writing and writing.
Yeah.
Because there actually were three R's. If you recall, in early education, it was reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right.
And that's not even a joke. That's what they called it. I mean, it is a joke, but right. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
And I missed that opportunity. So I'm just recovering that and getting it in there for the record.
Get it in there. I'm going to close the loop too for you.
Yeah.
So Socrates, you were correct.
Yes.
It says the philosopher most famously known for being against writing things down is Socrates.
Yes.
Huh.
I got it.
Through his student Plato's writings, Socrates expressed concerns that writing weakens memory and can lead to a false appearance of knowledge rather than true understanding.
Yeah.
And it goes on to say that he believed that writing was not an effective means of communicating knowledge.
He was saying that from a place of privilege, though. He had Plato to write all this stuff down for him.
Come on, yeah, right?
Some of us plebs have to write our own things down.
It was about being face-to-face, it seems. It says, to him, face-to-face communication was the only way one person could transmit knowledge to another.
Yeah.
It seems a little one-sided. Now, see, here's the thing, though, is that world was so much different. The amount of things you could know about was so finite compared to now.
When did he live?
I don't even know. Forever ago.
470 BC.
Gosh, so...
I just feel like I asked that question so I could tell you. I didn't. I actually was typing it in.
If you predate Jesus, it's a long time ago, right? I mean, come on.
That's right.
Yeah, but I get this, you know. When I'm communicating with somebody who is, I don't know, let's say they might be an idiot, okay?
Present company excluded?
No, yeah, not you. No, definitely not. Nobody on the changelog, platform, as far as I'm concerned.
Fair.
Yeah. And I want to just go on the record saying that. No, but it's kind of a nice clue when you're texting with somebody or talking to them. Like, you get clues about what's going on, and you sort of lose a bit of that if things are augmented. But we want everyone to be the best version, surely, and we want everyone to have the best chance. So I've got to come down on the side of that. But yeah, and there's Apple Intelligence adverts that show. There's one guy, and he just like normally would say, "Yeah, light it up, yeah, I'm walking here." That kind of character. And
my gosh!
And then Apple Intelligence changes it to be like, "Oh, I believe I was traversing the walkway before your vehicle approached." You know, it changes it into something that sounds.
I have to interrupt this amazing story due to not paying for software. Loopback has introduced some noise because we needed to use Loopback to combine your piano and your microphone into a single one.
Yeah, there's a Loopback going on.
And because you haven't paid for it, which I'm cool with, they are not. That's the problem. It's on purpose.
That's cheeky. So I'm remembering this now. Adam, good job of identifying this. This is a good, it's not shareware. What is it called? It's like trialware move by them?
Destructiveware.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
You can use it, but it would destroy your work.
Maybe right here we can insert one of those a few minutes later, and then we come back.
A few minutes later.
There you go.
We are now back from the noisiness of Loopback and Destructiveware. Yeah. So you were saying that. What were you saying?
Well, first of all, I don't know if Loopback need to be doing that. You know, I get it. A free trial, and then you want to pay for it, but it's a bit cheeky, isn't it? What did it sound like to you?
The worst.
White noise, just like really loud white noise.
It progressively got louder and louder to the point we couldn't hear you at all.
I think they should give you like a 7-day or a 30-day. I mean, that was like a 45-minute trial maybe less.
Yeah, probably less.
But we are fans of Rogue Amoeba software, but not necessarily that particular move they did right there.
Yeah, that was not cool.
And whatever story you were telling, Matt, I'm sure it was hilarious.
I don't remember now, do you?
I don't either.
Yeah.
Should we just move on?
Yeah, I think we should. Yeah, let's move on to the good stuff. Here we go.
Let's tell each other some lies.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I've got a lie for you.
You want to do these? Now, let's explain what we're doing here. Matt, this was your idea. It's similar to a game I play on JS Party called Head Lies, where I do a similar thing, except for it's just one person. So I'm very excited because I've never actually gotten to participate. I've always been just the host. And today, I'm a participant. So take us away, Matt. This was your idea. What are we going to do?
So we've got... two truths and one lie, and these are tech headlines.
Right.
So we have to say the three, and then you've got to be able to figure out which is the lie and which ones are the truths.
So each of us has brought three, and we'll each go in turn telling all three, and then the other two people have to try to detect the lie. You want to go first? You're the guest. Be our guest.
AI has created... new proteins that didn't exist before. That's number one.
That's number one?
Yeah. Number two, there's a train in China has broken the sound barrier. A train in China has broken...
These are headlines? These are seem like summaries.
Well, that's what headline is.
I know, right?
Well, sometimes. Okay, keep going.
My version of this is not the same.
Well, what news? What's preferred news outlet? I'll try and adapt it to
the BBC, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, keep going.
And then number three, AI has actually created a new color. Again, that was a summary, not a...
Okay, so AI has created new proteins.
New protein. There's a super
AI
fast AI
has created a new color.
Brand new color that's never been thought of before.
Okay, and then the train one, I think that one's true.
It's going faster than the speed of sound.
That is not that hard. There's cars that have done it.
It's quite fast, though.
I mean, a train doing that is significant, but, you know, it's China. They got...
How fast is the sound barrier? Mach what, 4, 10?
Sounds like a question for a robot, not a human.
It's I think it's about 700 miles an hour
right?
From memory, but I could be, I mean, now we're going to
maybe cars haven't done it. Planes have done it, not cars.
770 approximately.
Yeah, I take that back. I don't think a car has ever done that.
1239 kilometers per hour. That's cool.
Quite fast.
Maybe those cars out in the desert where they're just like,
yeah.
I think they have broken it. I'm just waffling back and forth.
Yeah, the rocket car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they have.
Okay. So airplanes definitely break it then. But has a train in China broken it? Probably. I think they would figure that out.
Yeah, could be.
Okay, so I'm going with AI has created a new color. I think that's impossible. You just, all the colors exist. All you got to do is get the right hex code.
I don't know about this, man. It's not, hex codes aren't the be all and end all of color, Jared.
Just for me, they kind of are. Oh, you're more of an HSL guy?
Hey, did you know that yellow that you look at on a screen is a lie? It's not the same as yellow if you're looking at a yellow flower.
That's why I'm picking that one as a lie.
Yeah.
I don't trust colors. Well, Adam, what are you thinking?
Man, I'm still just thinking about these trains breaking the sound barrier. Yeah.
Maybe they haven't.
It'd be loud, wouldn't it? Imagine waiting for a train and that one zooms past and bursts your ears.
That's the one I think is a lie. I think that's the lie one.
You think the train one's a lie?
Yeah, I think the train one's a lie.
So you and I both agree that AI creating new protein sounds like something that they would be doing with it.
Totally plausible, yeah.
What about AI creating a new color?
Totally plausible.
How so? Don't all colors exist and they just need to be hex coded?
Just need to be discovered?
Yeah, I think it's a discovery thing. I mean, invent and discovers.
He did say invent.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, but I gave a summary, not a headline.
I just gave clearly you didn't give a headline.
The train's a lie.
All right, so Adam's going with train. I'm going with color. Matt, is there some sort of like a prelude song that you'd play on the way up to this?
Yeah, probably. I would have thought so.
Have you ever considered a super fast train? How about one that'll blow your ears out and destroy your brain? Yeah, super loud, baby, loud. That one was true.
Yes.
Congratulations, that one was true. I'm afraid the color of a blooming thing. As Jared said, the colors all exist.
Yes.
So it can't be that one. Adam looks pissed, but he's fine. He's fine.
Love it.
Congratulations.
Okay. I will concede that it's more plausible for the train to have broken the sound barrier than it would be to invent a new color. However, I thought I had some prior knowledge to the Shinkansen, which is the most famous bullet train.
Oh.
And I knew it's max speed because my son was such a fan of trains when he was, you know, growing up, like 3, 4, 5, still is a fan. But we actually like studied high-speed trains for a while. They're just for fun, you know?
Yeah.
At like a 4-year-old level, not like an academic level.
And none of them had broken the sound barrier.
No, none of them did. And they were all in like the 400 range. So 700 and something is quite faster than 400, obviously. And like, imagine a train. Like, and here's the thing with this speed train that you got to think about. It's like, you have to consider so much further in the distance the dangers that are there, right? If you've got passengers on these trains, that's the whole point of them. They're passenger trains. And you go from here to there really, really fast. It's like the time to brake or the time to stop is so much distance that you have to have like the proper railway to have this distance and stuff. So I just thought it was like less likely. I thought, well, you know, find a color, pick a color.
Plus you won't hear it coming, you know?
That's right.
No, because it's faster than sound.
Yeah, exactly. It beats the sound to you.
That's actually, I don't believe so. I think you would still hear it coming.
I was just joking. I also think you'll hear it. But you'll hear it a little bit later than it would arrive.
Delayed, right? Yeah. I was going to say delayed. They can't hear themselves. Could you hear yourself going too fast? If you're going faster than sound, could you hear yourself?
Inside the train, the air's not moving that fast, I suppose. So they'd be fine. But yeah, if you were just traveling that fast.
There's weird physics around that, right? Like, you know, if you're in a moving vehicle and you throw a baseball up in the air and you can catch it, but then if you throw it out of it, then it still travels. I don't know how it works, but like you start to break your brain thinking about that.
Wind resistance there, friction elsewhere.
there's inertia, there's wind resistance, there's lots of things going on.
Yeah, because the ball is traveling at that speed as well, relative to you, so you can...
Right, its starting place is already that speed.
Yeah, it's already going dead fast, even though
you're... But you don't notice it. Like, much like us, we're like turning around on this globe at like how many miles per hour, but we have no idea.
Yeah.
Seven. I think it was 7 miles per hour we're traveling around the world.
Oh, that's not that fast.
Oh, 1 day per hour. No, 1 hour per hour.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, I landed on something closely correlated to true. Okay, I have my two truths and a lie.
Okay.
And let's see if you all can guess which one is the lie. Number one. Now, these are going to read more like headlines because, you know, I follow directions around here. But that's neither here nor there. Number one, as TikTok ban looms, Meta is sponsoring TikTok posts that encourage U.S. users to migrate to Instagram. That's number one. Mm. Number two, developer fires entire team for AI, now ends up searching for engineers on LinkedIn. Number three, Miyamoto's son, this is Nintendo's Miyamoto, Miyamoto's son was so bad at Super Mario 64 that he questioned his parenting. There you have it. Two truths and one lie.
Mm.
What are you guys thinking?
That first one sounded long for a headline, but again...
Oh, now you're judging mine after those summaries you provided?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know headlines have skewed more conversational in the last 5 years.
I think I know the answer to this, but Adam, what do you think?
Can I hear them again, please?
As TikTok ban looms, Meta is sponsoring TikTok posts that encourage U.S. users to migrate to Instagram. Number two, developer fires entire team for AI, now ends up searching for engineers on LinkedIn. Number three, Miyamoto's son was so bad at Super Mario 64, he questioned his parenting.
Man, they're all terrible. They're all terrible.
Yeah, but which one is not true? Two of those are true, by the way.
Two of those are true. I'm thinking the last one's not true.
Miyamoto's son?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Okay.
I can't give any more credence to AI here in this podcast so far. Although, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with that one, though, the AI one, because I can't say AI. But what I can do is spot when Jared's being a cheeky monkey. And I think he's. I think it's a joke. It's quite funny that someone would fire all their team and then... Do they use AI to... search LinkedIn for people, though, at least, probably.
Well, you could read the rest of the article on techgig.com.
Oh, it's real.
Because I got that headline from techgig.com. That is a true headline. You are both... Well, sorry. Oh, no, I foreshadowed. You are both incorrect. It's not Miyamoto's son. It's not LinkedIn. The lie... is as TikTok ban looms, Meta is sponsoring TikTok posts that encourage U.S. users to migrate to Instagram. I made that up.
Well, I think that could easily be true, right?
Right. Actually, it's kind of a good idea.
Yeah, or if TikTok would let them.
They should. Maybe they are doing it, but no one wrote the headline.
Yeah.
Anyways, I feel bad for you guys. Sort of.
Yeah.
Like I just hoodwinked you.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the game, though.
Adam looks doubly mad.
I'm just angry about most things, you know.
But that's the game, Jared. Don't feel bad. Do you feel bad in Monopoly when you're like taking money off your kids?
Honestly, Matt, when I tell people I feel bad when I'm beating them in a game, I'm not really feeling bad. I just say that because I just feel like it's the appropriate thing.
Oh, that's sweet.
So
that's a lie then. I vote that one as the lie.
Finally, he gets one right. Okay, Adam, why don't you do your turn and share with us some truths and lies?
I'm bringing one close to home, really.
Okay.
That goes back to Matt's world in a way. I've got three headlines.
Uh-huh.
Two that are true, and then one that's false.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I've done that.
Just so you're aware.
Okay. So you kind of okay.
Which order should I read them in? Should I read the true ones first or the false one first?
Read the false one first.
You have to mix it up.
Okay. Here we go.
If you read the false one first, I'm sure to get it.
This is the false one, just so you know. U.S. nuclear arsenal relied on 8-inch floppy disks until 2019.
Oh. Wow.
Number two, scientists used slime molds to help design Tokyo's rail system. Number three, Raspberry Pi is due to announce an SBC-style GPU to compete with NVIDIA.
Okay. Okay. Good. So can you say the middle one again? Slime molds?
Yes. Scientists used slime molds to help design Tokyo's rail system.
Don't know what one of them is.
I don't either. I'm not sure what slime molds are. Like slime from Ghostbusters slime?
Slimer.
Yeah.
What do you think they got him in to help consult?
I got headlines only. I got no context here, okay? These are headlines only.
I'm just trying to figure out if it's real or not. You know, if it's Ghostbusters based, I'm gonna assume it's a lie.
It's like, we're late on the project, but hiring Slimer was a big mistake. Oh. The office is an absolute state, and he's contributed nothing.
I won't tell you this, but I'll give you the details later. You're gonna love this. I got more context.
Oh, he's gonna give us details later. So that one, he's got an actual article. I've ruled it out. That's true.
Which one's true?
The slime molds.
Okay.
Because you just said you have an article on it.
No, I didn't say on that one. I was saying another one. It was a whole different one.
Well, you just changed the subject and then told us you had information.
Yeah, I was thinking about something different. I was contextually somewhere else, you know?
Okay. What was the first one again?
United States, U.S. nuclear arsenal. You know where the United States is too, right, Jared? Do you know what's that? The U.S.? Okay. Matt, do you know where it's at?
Yeah, but I thought you were just saying us, because you're from there.
Yeah, just us.
Us,
yeah.
Okay. Us nuclear arsenal relied on an Asian.
It is bad that you call your country cool. Us.
Here we go. Oh, it's like AI.
Well, that's kind of appropriate, isn't it? I mean,
us nuclear arsenal relied on 8-inch floppy disks until 2019.
8-inch floppy disks. Those are the big ones.
Yeah, the big ones.
Not even the save icon, is it, that?
No, no, no. In fact...
That won't work for you.
You know, how far does the 8-inch go back? Because... I remember floppies, but I never used an 8-inch. It was always a 3.5-inch.
I have handled an 8-inch one. I have had one in my hand, and they are floppy. Like this is why they were where the name floppy disk came from, because I understood from the 3.5-inch ones, they weren't floppy. They were rock hard because they were plastic. So plastic hard, I suppose. Right. They weren't made of rocks. But the actual bigger ones, the 8-inch ones. I think they were 8-inch. They were actually floppy. Actually, no, I'm thinking 5.5. I don't even think I've seen 8 either.
I mean, 8's a big old disc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's big. You do some damage with that. I wonder what capacity. I wonder how much you could get in.
Probably less than the 5.5 or the 3.5.
Probably. Hope so. No, I don't know, because it was that direction of travel, wasn't it?
That's true, but I think they got better at density or something.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, smaller storage space over time.
I could easily be using it for some reason in a antiquated nuclear something.
For the viewing audience, Jason, right. Splice this in, we'll see. This is a visual. Audio audience only, I'm sorry.
Just imagine what 8-inch, 5.25, and 3.5 looks like.
I'm screen sharing with our friends here, Jared and Matt, as you know, my friends, our friends.
Hello.
And on the left... You have the 8-inch. In the middle, you have the 5.25, I believe. Is it
5.25? Yeah. I was saying it 5-inch. It's got the quarter in there.
Yeah. And then the 3.5 down at the very far right. And I think you're correct, Matt, saying that one is more of a plastic hard. I think you said plastic card.
That's the 3.5. Plastic hard. Yeah.
Plastic hard.
He said rock hard.
Rock hard.
Well, compared, I've had the middle one, the 5.25, and they were just very floppy.
Difficult to digest.
Yeah.
Us. Nuclear arsenal relied on 8-inch floppy disk. The one on the far left.
I think that's false. I think you made that up. I mean, 8-inch, but is a nuclear arsenal, not a nuclear power plant, but arsenal, like actually firing nukes.
Yeah, they have these antiquated systems, though, don't they? And they don't change them. And
this is a tough one. Mm. What was your third one again?
Raspberry Pi, soon to announce SBC-style GPU to compete with NVIDIA.
Now, what's an SBC-style GPU?
Single board computer.
Okay.
A single watt computer?
Yeah, you know, the SBC is like super cool because like you have this tiny little thing and it's a single board computer.
And so they're going to compete with NVIDIA, like you're going to be doing inference on these things or something?
I mean, I can speculate some if you'd like. I think what I would say is like it's probably going to pair up with like the Raspberry Pi type thing, because the Raspberry Pi has GPU in it, but it's like not super amazing, you know? It does some stuff. You can do a media center on it, but not... You probably can't transcode 4K very well, or at least multiple streams. So I think those things have become popular. And so my guess, if this is true, of course, is that this SBC style GPU will pair up with a Pi to give you, you know, more GPU in this fanatic way of doing smaller computers, basically. versus, let's just say, the most recent, the RTX 50 or whatever, like 5090 or 5090 or whatever they just released. Like, that thing is huge. It's got three fans in it. Like, who wants that? You want a GPU that's smaller, SBC style.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I'm not trying to overly sell this or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, like, this could be a truth.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Yeah, exactly. It could be a true for yeah.
It's not.
It could
be true.
I think it's not. I think that's what I'm going to pick as the lie, the Raspberry Pi.
That's what
lie.
You're choosing as the lie?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, I can believe the US having some old systems and you need, you know, it still happens to need big old disk.
Mm-hmm.
The, I don't know, the point of Raspberry Pi is all very low tech, lo-fi stuff. They do have some bigger bits, but
sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's just maybe they're trying to diversify.
And you think, what is the, what's the lie for you, Jared?
Well, I wrote off the slime molds because I think you were looking at the article while we were talking about it, which means I didn't think about it very critically, okay. But I'm still thinking that that's true.
Okay.
The Raspberry Pi story is exactly the kind of story that you would make up. So I'm leaning.
I would make up?
Yeah.
For a game. Not
yeah, I mean, like, for yeah, yeah, not just for in life. Like, the guy just...
Okay.
But I'm not sure where you'd see a report on the U.S. nuclear system and their floppies. Like, to me, that just seems like, is that a news? Is that a, was that news recently?
The, well, to go back to our initiative here, we were told by our new friend here.
Hello.
Obscure tech headlines. These are clearly obscure tech headlines. And so I scoured the internet.
Oh, you're saying that was a headline from 2019?
Well, it doesn't matter when it came. No, they did this until 2019. It doesn't mean that they... Mm. The news is new.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Maybe there's like a FOIA request on the nukes.
Right.
The documentation on nukes.
I can't confirm where I've gotten this information, okay? All I can just...
I just want to applaud you on your ability to put together three pretty good ones.
Okay, thank you.
Whereas you didn't like mine, and I fooled you utterly. I'm liking yours. Matt, I feel like you're about to break into some sort of song. Please do.
Yeah, well, not really.
Please stall for me.
Tell me which one's the lie, please.
It's a mini song. Is there more?
No. Well, there's another verse.
I like this. Are you a fan of Mario Kart? Oh, no, sorry, not Mario Kart. Mario Party.
Yeah. Hang on. I'll just do the second verse. Ready?
Yeah.
I said, please.
That's it. It's not great.
Yeah, that was kind of weak.
It's not a hit, you know, they're not all hits. That's an album track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interstitials.
You didn't say please, though.
I was thinking you'd write out something about 8-inch floppies, but we can definitely move on.
I'll save that for later.
Yeah. Which one is the lie?
If I meta game this and my goal is to win,
yeah,
I won the first round by guessing Matt's and Adam missing it. I won the second round by fooling both of you. And so if I merely tie in round three, I've kind of taken it all. Mm. So I'm going to go with Matt. I'm going to say the Raspberry Pi is false. You made that up.
It's so plausible though, right?
It's really good. Yeah, it's really good.
I mean, like, I actually want it, I want that to be true.
Why lie about the Raspberry Pi? Why don't you tell the truth?
Amen.
I don't know if you know the rules, but you kind of did it good. Adam, you did.
Go, Adam.
You did it good.
Okay, friends, I think you know how much I love Notion, but I'm telling you anyways because I love Notion. I use it every day. I love how I can organize all my docs, all my notes, all my projects into a single space. And the cool thing is now they have AI built right in. Yeah, you can AI across your entire workspace, summarize, ask questions, all the things all across your workspace. And to me, it's been a total game changer, a total upgrade to my effectiveness. I just love it. Notion is the one place to connect teams, tools, knowledge, and you're empowered to make it yours, to make it your workflow, your operating system, to make your work meaningful and to do well with all the things you want to do. And unlike other
specialized tools, or even legacy systems that have you bouncing between six different apps, Notion is seamlessly integrated, infinitely flexible, and it's beautiful. It's easy to use. Mobile, desktop, anywhere. It's there for you. And recently, I've been really enjoying this Notion AI being right at my fingertips to handle that first draft I want to do, or to jumpstart a brainstorm I'm trying to do, or to turn my messy notes into something that's a little bit more polished. You can even automate tedious tasks like summarizing meeting notes or finding next steps. Notion AI does all this and more. It frees you up to do your best work, your deep work, as you like to say. And it's used by me, of course, and over half of Fortune 500 companies. And teams that use Notion send less email, they cancel more meetings, they save more of their time for the work they actually want to do. They save time from searching their work. And this whole entire AI across the workspace thing has just been a game changer for me. If I want to find something, I just ask AI and it helps me right there. So my friends, if you're not using Notion, check it out. Notion.com/changelog. That is all lowercase. Notion.com/changelog. Try the powerful, easy to use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you are supporting our show because, hey, Notion loves us, and I love Notion too. Notion.com/changelog. Here's the thing. This is cool, right? This other truth one, the slime mold, okay?
What is the slime mold deal?
Okay, so they put bits of food to represent Tokyo's various population centers on a map. And then they let a slime mold, which is supposed to be smart, right? Like it's, you know, genius, basically, which naturally seeks the most effective paths between food sources grow. And so this thing determined the network that could be a very plausible, very efficient path.
What?
So they use slime molds to help design Tokyo's rail system. This is true.
Oh, to design it. See, I thought they were building it with slime molds.
No, they said it to help design Tokyo's rail system.
I know, but I didn't pay close enough attention.
That's amazing.
I think at a headline level, you think that they used the slime mold to mold the train track kind of thing.
That's what I was thinking.
I understand that. And then obviously us nuclear arsenal relied on 8-inch floppy disks until 2019. This is a recent headline.
Really?
And the details behind this is that the Air Force finally modernized systems that ran on ancient hardware around 2019, but not before plenty of raised eyebrows in the tech circles.
Why?
Because they're using 8-inch floppies now.
Because they're using 8-inch floppy disks.
What are they doing now then? They're on the gone on to normal
5.25.
No, they must have jumped up to 3.5-inch.
Yeah. And then, you know, honestly, I just was like, I like Raspberry Pis. They're cool. NVIDIA and GPUs are all the rage. And I just heard a headline, basically, if you're a CPU maker, you're getting into GPU making. If you're a GPU maker, you're getting into CPU making. NVIDIA has CPUs coming out, and Intel has GPUs coming out. So, like, they're flip-flopping, right? So what's the other thing out there that's maybe going to do this? Raspberry Pi. And an SBC-style GPU that attaches to these other smaller things would be totally cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah.
If they do it within a year, should we come back and take Jared's points off him then?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we should.
I'll concede those points.
Well, they're going to hear this, right? They're going to hear this.
Right. This is pretty much like market research for them.
We should totally be doing this. Like, let's get rid of these 8-inch floppy disks that we were thinking about.
Yeah.
And let's do these SBC-style GPUs.
Yeah, that's good.
I think we should take a moment to mourn that 8-inch floppy.
Oh, it's happened.
Whoops.
It's happened.
Freudian
shoot.
Slip.
8-inch floppy disk.
It's happened.
Try it again.
It's a family show, Matt. It's again. A family show.
Normally, I'm the one that has to be told that.
Floppy disk manufacturer, you know, that company that had the contract forever that they could just keep selling their floppy disks to the government at some astronomical price, you know? After probably 40 years of that one big contract, they finally had to stop printing money and get a real job.
What's the N plus on the floppy disks do you think they had?
N plus?
Yeah, like how many in reserve do you think they had to have to ensure the US nuclear arsenal was, you know, safe? How many floppy disks?
Well, they probably didn't think they were going to need it until recent events. And then they're like, you know what? We actually should make sure this stuff works.
Let's get 100 behind this. N plus 100, you know?
Yeah.
We got the one in the drive. We're safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got 99 others sitting over there waiting just in case.
I wonder what's on the disk then. Like a code, you think? Or
like a GPC, like a key, like a GPG key or something like that.
Got to be, isn't it? Not going to be like source code for the missiles or something.
Let's speculate this system. What could it actually do?
Yeah.
If it ran on this hardware, like, is it running? Is the program, is it like a USB version of a software that runs on the USB, but instead it runs on the floppy?
Well, it used to boot off of a floppy, so maybe it's actually like the...
Boots into memory?
Right. It boots into memory and then runs off the memory.
All right. So this floppy gets put in. The program is accessible. It boots into memory. Boom goes the US arsenal.
Yeah.
Nuclear arsenal.
Yeah, probably that.
So the 8-inch floppy originally stored 80 kilobytes in 1971. Oh. And then it went up to 256.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually maxing out at 1.2 megabytes. The 5 1/4 introduced in 1976, single-sided, single density, 160K. And then they figured out double density, 360K. Eventually they did a double-sided double density, 720K. And then double-sided high density, 1.2 megabytes. So they finally made their way back up to the 8-inch. Maybe this is why the US nuclears are just like, we're cool with the 8-inch, man. 3.5-inch introduced in 1980, started at 720K, double-sided high density, 1.44. That's the most common. And then extra high density, 2.88 megabytes.
This is making me think of a museum. Is there a place in the world where there's like a technology museum that isn't somebody's random basement or some weirdo?
Absolutely there is.
There is?
Yeah, we were there. I don't know for sure if we were there in the building together, Adam, but I've been there. It's in the valley.
In San Diego, right? I mean, San Jose.
Yeah, it's called the Computer History Museum. Is that what it's called? It's really cool. I thought we were there together, Adam. Maybe I was there with somebody.
Were we there together? Like maybe you. We were.
I think we were.
It must be ancient history then.
Well, there is no ancient computer history because computers aren't ancient.
We haven't been to San Francisco together, I would say, in about 8 years. It feels like at least 6.
Yeah, if you go to computerhistory.org.
Yes, yeah, the computer history.
They have actually a pretty cool Instagram as well that I've checked out where they still post stuff regularly. Mm-hmm. And they have new stuff coming in. I'm trying to find the actual address of the place to confirm. You're saying it's in San Diego. It's in Mountain View. I think we were there together, Adam.
Mm.
Mountain View, California. So
I didn't know I'd been to Mountain View.
Was that when we were out to see user testing maybe?
Yeah, that might be right.
My brain was a little scattered. We were doing something brand new with high stakes. So,
what, weed?
Yeah, totally.
That's what I can't remember.
No, he said high stakes. Oh, wait, that still works.
Oh, yeah. It's just a steakhouse near
the
dispensary.
Yeah, high stakes is where you go afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did have some other Raspberry Pi lies.
Okay, let's hear them.
Do we need a theme tune for Raspberry Pi lies?
Raspberry Pi lies writes itself.
It does, doesn't it, really? Let's see if it does. What key should it be in? You pick a key, any key.
A P. It should be in P.
Oh, that's not one. That's not one of them.
How about A minor?
Yeah.
What?
That's A minor. What do you think, Adam? Higher or lower?
Higher always, as you know.
He likes high stakes.
I want my Raspberry Pi lies, baby, feed them to me. I wanna think that the making GPUs are gonna sell themselves to China. Tell me where we're gonna be in 1,000 years time, but tell me through Raspberry Pi lies.
Well, they weren't really full on lies. They were more like directions that I didn't flesh out. So I was thinking,
They're more like directions that I was fleshing out. So I was thinking,
Drones, like a Pico drone. Make your own drone from a Pi.
Uh-huh. Like a Pico drone.
Yeah.
I want that.
And then I was thinking like something solar, because I was like, well, you know, these things are so small, you want them to be in obscure places.
Yeah.
Like, what if I wanted a switch? Like a WRT switch that's running open source stuff that's not like power accessible. I have a battery, maybe, or like a power pack. What if it was solar powered, you know? So I was thinking like something solar that direction.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I'd have gone for the US military discs if you'd said either of those two.
That's true.
Then I was thinking, well, GPU, that's in the headlines now. It's CES recent, so there you go. Boom.
The challenge with solar is you need so much surface area.
Well, if it's small, though, like let's say if it's sub 5 watts, which is what it would probably be, like probably sub 2 watts. It's just a switch and maybe Wi-Fi.
How much surface area do you need for that?
Probably not much. I mean, the size of a Pi, probably. Pi Solar, could you imagine this? Pi Solar? Raspberry Pi, if you're not listening to this podcast for ideas.
Should be.
Yeah, you should be. Yeah, I mean, here we go.
I like the drone idea. I kind of want a phone case that's got that on it. So I can, if I do find, like, I've lost my phone around the flat, I can press a button on my watch. Yeah, and it just flies to me.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, it might slice some people on the way.
Well, there's some really small drones out there. So back, I want to say about six or so years ago, maybe 7 years ago, I got into like the early days of drones, right? They're expensive. They still kind of are expensive now. But there was these really small ones you could buy on Amazon. And they're like tiny, like little toy things. So I think that'd be kind of cool to build a drone from a Pi, but you probably can do that already. You know? All you need is a case and a compute. And then I suppose servos and stuff like that to do the motors.
Yeah, you just need a good old fast fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One fan go up, I see ya. What's next? Is this show just based on truths and lies? Is there more?
Well, we finished, haven't we?
Yeah, I won.
Is this a show?
Did you, Jared, you won that, didn't you?
I would say that I should get some points too because, you know, I let you win.
Yeah.
True. All right, you can have some of Matt's points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need them.
He's not going to use them.
I can't spend them in this country. The exchange rate's terrible for points on game shows. That's why that you don't get many Brits appearing on American shows.
Yeah.
We should have prizes and then just give them to me at the end.
Yeah, if you win.
What could we give as a prize? Well, I tell you what, Jared, you can master this episode. How about that?
Oh.
There you go.
That's nice.
That'd be fun.
I can do that.
It'd be fun.
Maybe I'll put him some applause and congratulations sounds. Maybe like that confetti, like the push. You know that one?
Yeah.
We should reach out to Loopback, though, and Rogue Amoeba to see if they want to sponsor the show.
They should. We should have an episode that's just white noise until the check clears.
That's right. Yeah. this show brought to you by Rogue Amoeba.
Brought to you by Psh, you know?
That's a shame it's that sound. It could have been a lovely little ditty or, you know, a Snoop Dogg track.
I'll tell you what.
Licensing fees, you know?
I do think it'd be kind of cool to augment whatever's being done. And like, if you were speaking, now you're not Matt. Now you're Snoop Dogg, like you said, you know?
Or they could do the Charlie Brown parent thing. Like you just are wah, 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 wah. That would actually be pretty cool.
That'd actually be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Good marketing because you could probably use it, you know, like an unintended consequence. Like next thing you know, like.
Right. Or bad marketing because people won't upgrade. They're just like, I want the Charlie Brown sound. So I'm going to keep it.
So good.
Like, where'd you get that? Well, this free trial of Rogue Amoeba software called Loopback. Just go get it. It's free. That'd be cool. That's good marketing. More ideas for these people. Holy boy.
I know. Well, you're an idea guy.
Oh, man.
Have you or someone you know been a victim of identity theft? Maybe you've been harassed on the internet. Maybe you've been stalked. Maybe you've been doxxed. Privacy is important. You know, my bubble, your bubble, my space, your space. Don't cross into my world unless you belong there, right? Get out of here. That's what I tell spammers, but they don't listen. But have you ever wondered how much of your personal data is out there on the internet just waiting to be gobbled up and sold to anyone? For anyone to see? Well, there's more than you think. Your name, your contact info, your social security number, the thing that unlocks your credit history, your home address, even information about your family and your friends, it's all being compiled by data brokers and is being sold online. And these data brokers make a profit off your data. It's a commodity. Anyone on the web can buy your private details. Turns into identity theft, phishing, harassment, unwanted spam calls. I get so many of those. But now I use Delete Me, today's sponsor, and they're helping me remove my data from hundreds of data brokers out there to help me curb all this unwanted spam, phishing attempts. Even over the holidays, I got texts about packages. I'm sure you did too. And I almost got phished by one of them. It was so close. So close. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it all from there. They send you regular personalized privacy reports showing you what information they found, where they found it, and what they removed. And Delete Me isn't just a one-time service. It's always working for you, constantly monitoring, constantly removing the personal information you don't want on the internet. And to put it simply, Delete Me does all the hard work of wiping your and your family's personal information from data brokers' websites. And that's exactly why I use it. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount for our listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan by texting CHANGELOG to 64000. Again, text CHANGELOG to 64000. Of course, message and data rates may apply. Once again, text CHANGELOG to 64000.
One other thing we could talk about was just to throw some flowers at Matt. In addition to your amazing piano skills, I hear you recently won an award yourself, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Can you tell us about this?
Is this true or is it a lie?
No, this is true. I couldn't believe it.
I was going to have you tell a story and have Adam guess, but you've already ruined it. This is true. This is
well, I've said it's true. I mean, if I was lying, that is what I would say, to be fair.
That is true.
If I have ruined it. It is true.
Yeah, it's completely ruined. Go ahead, tell us the story. This is like...
No, this was the Open UK, which is an organization that works and celebrates open source software. And I think because of a little package I wrote with a friend of mine called Testify, you may have heard of it. Have you heard of it, Adam?
I do declare. It's a version of testifying.
Okay. That is, declaring, testifying.
So it's voided the answer. Cool. Well,
you know, I've heard of it, Matt.
Have you?
Well, from you on Go Time.
Yeah. I don't stop banging on about it, to be honest.
Yeah. You just won't shut up about it.
Yeah. Actually, I found out from Jonathan Amsterdam from the Go team at Google, it's the most imported package, Go package in the world by about 3 times or something.
Wow.
So it's like an assertion package that helps you assert equal.
Write some tests. Things.
Yeah. Helps with your testing.
Doesn't Go have that stuff built in?
Well, it deliberately doesn't. And what you're told to do really by the Go team is to write native Go code, and that's your test, and there's nothing new for someone to learn.
You don't want
to
do that.
Well, I just wasn't used to it, and I was used to these assertion library, and it's the third most imported Go, or it's the most imported Go package by 3 times or whatever. Turns out I think people want that, but there's a weird little rub around when you pass variables into methods. In certain cases it can change. And so you don't really want that happening if you're in your test suite stuff.
Is that called shadowing or something like this?
I don't know, honestly.
Okay. It's like a Go Piccadilly, or is this like a programming thing?
It's a Go-specific Piccadilly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I use that word right?
I have no idea. I doubt it.
Probably not. I've been using words wrong all day.
Yeah, maybe you meant Piccalilly, which is perhaps a kind of yellow sauce. It's not that either. Yeah. But it's real yellow, not computer fake computer yellow, unless you're seeing it on a computer.
Yeah, you can't be trusted any longer. You've been telling these.
You can't trust yellow. No.
I'm just Googling Piccadilly, see if it's a real thing.
It's a place in London. There's an area.
Oh, that's right. It's like a square.
Yeah.
Isn't it a square?
No, it's a circus.
What's a circus? A circus is where the elephants are.
Yeah.
So there's a circus in London.
Called?
Piccadilly.
Piccadilly. That's it.
And this is where like elephants stand on their two heels, and then lions jump through.
Yeah, it's a very popular tourist attraction.
Is it a circle?
I think it's not really like much of a circle, but it probably was originally.
Okay, yeah, is that what a circus is? A circle?
I've only put that together talking to you now.
I mean, I'll just say the U.S. audience here, we don't know what a circus is unless it's Barnum and Bailey's.
That's the best circus in the world.
That's right. So you're not doing a very good job of explaining why Piccadilly is a circus.
No, I can't help it.
You also called it a place.
A place.
So we're very confused. Matt, Adam, are you confused?
I'm also confused, but something else. So I'm at this, tell me if you know this URL, okay? GitHub. Com.
I do.
Yep, yep. I've heard
slash
of that. Oh, hold on.
Strector.
Say what?
Nearly.
Does that ring a bell to you, Matt?
Stretcher.
Yes. Stretcher.
Oh, is this Testify?
Yeah. That's the company that we, that's the startup that we had when we made Testify. So we put it in the company name, not my own personal name. Now I'd be world famous had I.
You already are. You won an open source award.
Oh, yeah. Forgot I didn't finish telling you that. I got a medal. They sent me a medal.
What color was it?
Golden.
Oh, golden. That's no, first place.
Gold. It's first. Yeah, I think everyone gets that, though. It wasn't like a race. But there you go. So, yeah, it was the Open UK Honours, New Year's Honours list. And genuinely, it is quite nice to get that. Normally, I don't win things like that, but quite honoured to get it, really.
What do you think is at stretcher.com, spelt this funny way, stretcher.com? What do you think is there?
Well, I know that we let the domain expire and someone else got it, so.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. I'm like, what do these folks have to do with Testify for Go? Because it's a stretching company. Like, you go there and you get stretched.
What's that?
So I was thinking, like, Matt, what, do you mean you get what stretched? Is going on? With your software, what did you write this for to be stretched?
Well, originally this was like a MongoDB style API. So for web and app developers, you'd be able to just start posting data to RESTful endpoints. They didn't have to exist, and it would create the RESTful, the data. It would just persist it, and then when you get it and get the list, it would all just work. So that was the idea for make development quicker and gives you like a backend. So kind of like a schemaless data store thing. And the idea
you're describing what your idea was, not this stretching idea they've got.
Yeah. From what you've said, it sounds like they're going to stretch you, like stretch Armstrong or something.
They're doing something different altogether.
Does it? But I need to make sure that domain name is not on the project.
It is. That's how I found it. Yeah. It's on the GitHub organization.
I'm going to go and change that right now.
I would definitely change that because that's confusing. I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah,
well, sure. I guess actually three times as many other folks who download or install any packages or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
In their Go programs and software care. But they're not on your org looking at what URL goes back to the source.
Yes.
For Stretcher.
No, but it is a concern. And I checked the emails to make sure that there were no emails that were, you know.
Mm-hmm. I would do this, though. I would first email these folks at the new Stretcher, and I will let them know that you've been promoting their stuff for a few years now and that there's royalties to be paid.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd let them know that first prior to doing, and take a screenshot and share that with them. And then say, I've since stopped, but you owe me back pay.
Maybe I could take that payment in stretches so they could just come and just.
Yeah, that's right. I'm willing to barter. I could use a stretch.
Yeah. Upper body stretch. Can I close the loop on Picadillos?
Please do.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, at least once.
So Robin Williams' character, Sean, tells Will this story about how his wife farts in her sleep.
Oh, yeah, she farts.
And Will cracks up about it. Sometimes she farts so loud she woke herself up.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that.
And they're laughing about it. And Sean says, that's the stuff that I remember because she's died. She's dead, right?
Right.
And that's not a spoiler because that's like start of the plot. So trailer spoiler. Can you have a trailer spoiler? It's probably in the trailer. Trailer spoiler. Okay. And he says, you know, that's the stuff I remember. You know, the fact that she farted in her sleep, which is funny. And he says,
little things like that. Yeah, but those are the things I miss the most. The little idiosyncrasies that only I knew about. That's what made her my wife. Boy, and she had the goods on me, too. She knew all my little peccadillos.
And he goes on from there. Mm-hmm. And he's referring to idiosyncrasies, and he uses the word peccadillos. And I just assumed that that was a word, but I can't find that word anywhere else except for when Robin Williams said it. As you two were talking about stretching or something. I'm not sure what you guys were talking about.
How would you spell that in your version of adjourn?
Well, I spelled it like Piccadillo Square, or sorry, circus, or circle, and that was wrong. But according to this website here called WikiQuote, it's spelled PECCADILLOS.
But you sort of know what it means, even though it's not a word.
You totally know what it means. Yeah. Actually, it is a word. I was probably just spelling it wrong.
All right.
A small sin or a fault, a slight trespass or offense, a petty crime, a trifling fault. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was talking about with go, you know? It was like this little sin of go.
Right.
Shadowing variables and stuff.
Come on.
I see. And not having built-in test assertions.
Yeah. Well, the Go team, actually, Testify is banned at Google. I can exclude.
Oh, is it? And you don't use it anymore. I know that.
Yeah, I do use it because there's lots of projects that use it.
But not in new stuff.
Yeah, I don't. Because I just have a smaller version, which is on my own GitHub, just called is. And it's just like three or four methods. Testify has so much power in it. It's one of those things where if you're a pro user and you're doing a lot of testing, Testify is for you. You
know? And it's super popular, so probably a bunch of people came by and added their own little peccadilloes.
Yeah, and they fixed it. So now there's armadillos in it, everything.
All kinds of dillos.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so many actually, dillos. Yeah.
We did have the policy. We had a policy of anybody that contributed a PR was added to the project. So this was like an experiment, really, which I probably regret. Only because it meant that it just blew and it blew up. It ballooned. The API is enormous.
Now, did they get awards too, or what happened there? Did you even mention them?
Who?
Who?
Mention who?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't know who I've slandered there, because I genuinely didn't hear it.
Did you, Matt, when you took this open source award, this medal, this gold medal?
Yeah.
Did you mention all the little people that helped you along the way, like people. All these contributors?
The picadillos.
Yeah.
Of course I did. I mean, I didn't give a speech anywhere, but I said it to myself out loud in the mirror.
Oh, there wasn't a speech? This wasn't like an award show or something?
No, it's just... No,
oh, man. I was hoping to like, you know, put the footage up and stuff.
That'd be nice. Well, we could make that.
Let's do it right now.
You should do an acceptance speech that we could send to them. Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
This is good.
You could sing
I would have improvised it anyway.
Matt, here is your award for being great in open source. Oh, go.
Wow.
Who do you want to thank?
I just want to thank all the little people first. They're tiny or they're really far away, either way. But they helped, you know. And you don't have to have contributed a lot to open source like I have with Testify, the most important project in the world, I think. Jared, was that were your words?
Maybe.
You know, but thank you very much for this lovely medal. And you know, I'd like to thank all my family as well. I'm holding it because it came on a ribbon, so I was holding it up. Yeah, and you know, keep open sourcing, everyone. Bye. That sort of thing.
That sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to do that in song, for instance, what would that sound like?
Well, I'd only have one hand because I'm holding the medal.
Well, just go strong hand only.
Okay.
This one. Hold my strong hand.
Hold my strong hand.
I wanna thank all the little people. I don't know why you're so tiny, but you helped me make this project by typing things in on your tiny keyboard. Oh baby, one day you'll be big. Thank you for my award. Thank you for my award. Thank you for my lovely medal.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of medals, Jared, were you referencing, like I was, Scary Movie 2?
At which point?
When you said, take my strong hand.
No, I was laughing at you because I know you said that previously during a Pound of Fine game after Taylor Troche gave you that little hand at Strange Loop.
That's right.
And you held the little hand up and you said, like, take my strong hand. That's what I was laughing because I knew that was a callback. And I knew Matt didn't know that was a callback. So I was also laughing for that reason.
Still got it. I still got my hand.
He still has his.
It's there.
There it is.
Take my strong hand.
So this is a Scary Movie 2 quote.
It's actually a Mandela effect.
Oh, it's not actually in there.
Yeah. People largely, I'm talking like a massive population, strongly, emphatically believe that he said, take my strong hand.
Who?
In the movie. I'd have to show you the clip. Okay. I don't know the person's name.
But he actually said what?
take my little hand.
Why the hell think you said strong then?
Exactly. Mandela effect, brah.
But why?
I don't know why Mandela effect happens. It just does.
Huh.
Yeah, a lot of people believe. I mean, there's a lot of people who, like, I believe it. I remember that.
You just told us he said that like 5 minutes ago.
I know, but he didn't. The truth is that he said, take my little hand.
Huh.
Mm.
You take my little hand.
I didn't know a lot of people watched that movie and had commentary on it.
It's a lot of people. Yeah, it's a very popular, unpopular film. I mean, it's a scary movie too.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. It's a sequel.
That's exactly my point. You're making my point for me.
Come on now.
I could imagine you saying, you know, when Darth Vader says, Luke, I am your father, he never says that.
Well, that's a shame, honestly.
And that's a shame. That's what everybody thinks he says.
Why? So why does everybody else believe that?
It's Mandela effect.
Mandela effect.
Because okay. It's kind of like what he should have said if George Lucas was a slightly better writer.
I love that compression, though, right? Like, you don't have to explain anything besides Mandela effect. Mm-hmm. That's just it.
That's right.
That's the beauty of memes and compression.
But Mandela did exist, right? He's not part of the Mandela effect, is he?
Well, he's the inventor of it, unbeknownst to him.
Are we talking about Nelson Mandela? Who are we talking about?
Nelson Mandela. Yeah. So to my knowledge, this is what I know about it. The Mandela effect came about because there was a large population of people who emphatically believed that he had passed away years before he did not pass away. So he passed away much later, truthfully. But people believed he had died many, many years before that. And there's a lot of people, and they're like, I remember seeing the headline, I remember seeing the news reports, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, he did not. And so this birthed this, I suppose, the name to the phenomenon that seems to have happened throughout history, where a large population misremembers or has memory of an alternate dimension.
Oh, right.
Now, if you go back to the...
Oh, right. Like, that was just a totally normal thing to say.
What's the thing? I'm trying to remember what the... Somebody else who would be a scientist here would know what I'm talking about. It's the... There's a place over in your area, Matt, in the European region, I suppose, where they have, like...
In CERN?
CERN, this collider. Yeah. Tell me, what's it called again?
The CERN Particle Accelerator.
There you go.
Yeah, it's Particle Accelerator.
I like the way he says it. So... They believe that when this began to happen, it started to create fractures in timelines and like alternate realities. Now, I don't know how plausible this is, but it's crazy as all get out though, right? Like you're smashing particles together and you're rippling time and space and whatever. And Mandela effect, there you go.
They should have called it the Jimmy Carter effect, you know, because I thought he was dead a long time ago.
Me too.
Turns out he made it to 100.
That's why tomorrow I'm not celebrating. I'm saying, you know, like everybody's going to be mourning. I'm like, listen. The guy had a good life. He died twice.
Yeah, I witnessed one of these. There was a guy, he still is a guy, called Frances Campoy, who was big in the Go community. I think he works at Apple now. Yeah, he's great. I love him, actually. I should text him, probably. Yeah, anyway.
Text him right now.
Yeah.
And then while you do that, sing.
And accepted a medal. So we never finish your story.
We were in, after some Go conference, he was talking about seeing Freddie Mercury in Barcelona. And my friend David Hernandez, who I did Machine Box project with, he was like, yes, I was there. I saw that too. And it turns out there was a guy there who was a big nerd on Queen and Freddie Mercury. And he said, no, it can't have been because he died the year before. Whoa. And they were like, no, it was. They had it, the Mandela effect.
That's one of those moments where you think that perhaps you're in great harm, you know, like you're in harm's way.
Do you?
Well, it's like a twist at the end where you're like, wait a second, call's coming from inside the house.
Oh yeah. Right.
Like it couldn't have possibly be. He's been dead for years. And you're like, because, you know, you just had lunch with him, for instance.
Right. And you have the refrigerator door open. And as soon as you close it,
Right, and his hook is hanging on the rearview mirror.
Oh, yes.
Of your truck.
I knew what you did last summer. I knew it. I know what I knew.
You saw Freddy.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, the two Fs.
Oh yeah.
Both Freddies.
Reminds me of a song. The one about two Rs. How'd that go?
Oh no, there's no memory. There's no memory.
Double R. Yeah,
I don't remember it either.
It's actually triple. Reading, writing, arithmetic.
It's good, isn't it?
Why is he not singing? We keep prompting him to sing, but he won't do it.
You know that kid in on that movie where Bruce Willis is dead the whole time? Trailer spoiler, and also in the whole film. He's dead. He's dead the whole time, and then they
you don't
show
have to
you
watch the movie at all. If you know,
right.
Yeah, by now, you know. I think that ship has sailed.
I'm gonna go back and rewatch that movie. Actually,
that's a great movie. By the way, if my kids are listening to this, stop right now. Actually, a few seconds before this, because we're gonna watch that together, and I don't want them to be spoiled.
Yeah.
But they love the Matt Ryer episodes.
Tell them now to stop listening a minute ago.
I just did, but
I know.
Dang it,
it's great.
I have to go back in time.
Well, you can edit that.
Yeah, you could
edit myself in. In the future, actually, it's in the past. Depends on how you think about it.
You do a lot.
Okay, but yeah, good movie. I do remember that.
Jared, I think you should talk to your kids and not rely on communicating with them through podcast. But that's
I'll consider it. I'll take it under consideration.
So, yeah. No, but the little kids like, I see dead people, and it's like, yeah, everyone can. They don't go invisible when you die. That's not a film. This is not a film, kid. And I'd be if I was the Bruce Willis in that, I'd be saying that to him. I'd be like, what are you talking about, mate? Of course you can see dead people.
What are you talking about?
Wait, did you see then, who was it? It was a comedian that told this story about this film.
Did Matt just take his joke and act as if it was his own?
No. But it reminds me of it because they said it was Nate Bargatze.
Mm.
And we love him because he's a very tasteful comedian. He doesn't have to cuss or...
Yeah, he's clean, he's hilarious.
You know, egregious at all. He said it was more plausible to the listening and watching audience that his wife didn't want to talk to him than him being dead. That's a version of his punchline. It was plausible that this woman was ignoring him for a year, the whole film basically, ignoring him completely, than for him to be dead.
Yeah.
What a shame.
No, it's a good point.
What a shame.
So here's what I would like to have in life. I'd like to have a Matt GBT. Which is, of course, a musical intelligence that could answer my beck and call. Like, if I had to say, like, hey, Matt GPT, could you summarize this podcast? You know, because GPTs can summarize, man.
Oh, yeah, they're good at that.
And sometimes they can summarize in musical fashion if they happen to be a musical Matt GPT.
I see.
Could I have one of those?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
What key would you like it in? By the way, this is a flex because you say the key and then I really play it in that key and then the listening audience. The
musical people understand this, but for me, it's just more like stress because I don't know any more keys. Yeah. I already gave you A minor and I don't know the other ones.
Yeah.
I mean, and Adam said P.
That was a joke. That was
B. Yeah. Is that a good one? Is that the same as A minor?
No, it's not the same.
C major?
Matt, what's the best key for a summary?
That's a good question. Probably E flat, if we're just being honest.
Which we haven't been.
Well, thank you for joining us. I hope you had a good time, baby, cause I know that I did. I had a lovely time. Now it's time to go and get some R&R. Take it down. Have a relax and play some Super Mario. If you got an ancient floppy disk on you, yeah, then you'll be fine when nuclear war breaks out. And if you wanna know how to make it out alive, I suggest you get the slime mold to show you how. This is a family show. Yeah, but how many kids listen? I don't know. Probably not that many. Not yet anyway. Not yet anyway. Now we've had a good time, yeah. We're going for some high stakes after this. I like high stakes. This is my strong hand. Take it, please. I take my strong hand, and I'll take you to CERN, and we'll discern if they've broken the universe. And next time we'll see you on the changelog and friends. This is the end.
some loopback white noise.
Not bad.
Great job, Matt. I actually think now that you've done that white noise, I think they stole that from you. Yeah, I think they ganked your white noise, bro.
You should get some licenses from them.
Yeah.
Bye, friends.
Bye, y'all. Thanks, Matt.
Bye. Thank you.
Take my strong hand. I'm thinking that Matt was even more comfortable at the piano than he is with a guitar. You can hear it and you can see it if you watch this episode on YouTube. Yes, we are shipping full-length video podcasts to our YouTube channel this year. Like and subscribe, why don't you, at youtube.com/changelog. And tell your friends, too. That'd be cool. Stay tuned, Changelog Plus members, for a 12-minute bonus all about The Onion buying Infowars.com. And if you aren't a Plus member, that's our membership program that you can join to directly support our work, make the ads disappear, get free Changelog stickers, and get in on bonus content like Plus only episodes and extended episodes like this one. Check it out at changelog.com/plus. People are saying it's better. I'm not going to disagree with that. One more thank you to our partners at Fly and to our sponsors of this episode, Sentry, Notion, and Delete Me. Please check out their work because they support ours and they make good stuff. So it's a win-win-win. Next week on the Changelog, news on Monday, Alicia White from Embedded FM on Wednesday, and another fun episode of Changelog and Friends on Friday. Have a great weekend. Share the Changelog with your friends who might dig it. And let's talk again real soon. Okay, plus bonus, don't go anywhere.
Hang on, I don't subscribe to this. Do I have to stop listening?
You made that joke last time.
No, I didn't. I just texted it to you.
Oh, that's
saying,
right.
I said, I'm going to make this joke, Joe. Don't ruin it.
Don't call me out.
Yeah, don't call me out on it.
Oh, shoot.